Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. It was just in front of me. I thought I'd just share that.
How many guys will carry that around today now?
Yeah. I just, you know, it's kind of appropriate for men's ministry, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of workplaces, sometimes we have a tendency to still use the Lord's name in vain. Do you know that I believe, and somebody's not going to agree with this, that sometimes even when I say this thing, when someone says something to me and I go, oh, geez, that's using the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, not to become stiff-necked here or whatever, and but I wanted to just say welcome back to Duke. Duke is in the studio with us today.
Good to be here.
Well, we've got a topic today that Duke wanted to talk about today because it has to do with relationships. What is the foundation of our relationship with each other? What is the biblical foundation? And anyway, so we're going to kind of kick that. And you might be surprised how this might end up. We're in a week that has been very, very cool for a lot of different reasons. We have a lot of miracles that have taken place. And here's a little bit of what I wanted to share with you guys is that one of our sons, we have two sons, and one of our sons has had some problems medically, internal problems with his colon and his liver, and ever since he was an infant. And anyway, he's in his mid to late 20s, and he actually has been going down to a specialist down in the Seattle area for some challenges. And a lot of these, I can't even pronounce some of the challenges that he has. There's even initials, and I get them all mixed up anyway.
You mean
right?
You weren't gifted to be a physician?
No, well, no, that's not me. That's not me. But anyway, but I will tell you this, is that one of the things that we as a family and Debbie and I individually believe in prayer, and we know that it works, and we just have to continue praying, and believing. Well, long story short, about a month ago, I had taken him down to Seattle, given him a ride, and he had some tests done, a biopsy on his liver. They had said that he had colon cancer, okay, that they were going to have to remove the colon and do something there to create so that he wouldn't have to wear a bag all the time. But they also came back with news that his liver was damaged, heavily damaged, where they're considering putting him on the list for a liver transplant, and that it would, because of what's going on in his body, he may have to do this more than one time in his lifetime. Mm. And so anyway, long story short, we prayed, and it got his attention. And so he received prayer, not only from family members, okay, but at the Band of Brothers, he came and he prayed. Well, anyway, this week, he went down to Virginia Mason to be able to get results on what was to take place. They've already had conversations with other doctors about the things that are going to take place. And this was another specialist that he was, they did another biopsy, a little deal with him, another test on his liver. Anyway, the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with your liver.
Praise God.
And that is a huge praise God. Yeah. You know, that is just huge. Mm. I mean, and my son, who, you know, now he's even more aware of saying, hey, I believe, you know, I'd like to think he's saying inside, I believe, because he knows nothing else was done. The doctors are the ones that were looking at darkness, dismay, and hopelessness. That this, we got to go with this track here to be able to keep you alive. And now all of a sudden, it, he's saying, there's nothing wrong with your liver. So praise God. I got a call this morning from another brother who was there on Tuesday night, asked for prayer for his throat. He was going to have a treatment or something done on his throat where they've had problems with it. And he went to the doctor yesterday afternoon. The doctor looked at it, said, there's nothing wrong with your throat. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And it's like, you know, praise God. Now, it's not because of the band of brothers. It's not because of myself or my wife or individuals, per se. It is God. You know, Paul talks about it, says that, you know, he plants the seed, Apollos waters it, but God is the increase. It's all because of God. You know what? Never give up in prayer. So that's my encouragement to you, is never give up in prayer. Just continue, persevere. This is part of being a mighty man of God, continuing to pray, not for selfish things, but for those who are in need, and that God's will be done, okay? That God's will be done.
And, you know, we should not be surprised at this.
Absolutely.
God's word says, ask. And I believe that when he allows these things to occur, that it's to build our faith and our testimonies, because through that we glorify him. Through that experience, those men will touch someone else's life with that story.
Amen.
And it's a story of faith.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
What a great encouragement.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. So continue praying, brother, and you'll continue to, God will reveal more of who he is, and we get opportunities to be able to see that working in and through our lives. So anyway, I'm going to read a little scripture here because you wanted the basis of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to segue right into this thing. Yeah. Turn your Bibles as if you got in front of you. Maybe you do.
Yeah, some guys do. Yeah.
Hebrews 10:24. Okay. Actually, I'm going to just start on 21, if that's okay. Just kind of give a little pre here. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day, capital D, the day approaching.
Yes, yeah.
So,
well, there's the encouragement for guys, everybody, really, to embrace that getting together, which is not the habit of some.
Yes, yes. Because we have a tendency of, especially men, isolating.
Yes.
We don't want to be in fellowship necessarily. We didn't at one time in our lives, I'd like to think, that the majority, that I was the only one that was like that. But most of us don't want to have to gather together. I don't want other men, unless I am the biggest and strongest and the smartest in the room, I don't want to be a part of it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and this goes right to that prayer deal, Raul. I got to say that in the past when I prayed by myself, yes, I believe that God hears those prayers and answers them, okay? But there seems to be something, I don't know, I get more powerful maybe, or I don't know, when you get gathered together, and you know, lots of us pray, or guys lay hands on one another, and I mean, I think God will answer the prayer either way, but there's just such unity in that.
Right.
And then when the prayer is answered, now it affects multiple people instead of just the one.
Absolutely,
I think that's just part of how God does stuff. So, having that fellowship and the guys getting together, like you said, oh, we all got together and, praying by yourself, I think, absolutely brings us to a place where God wants us to be, and I think he answers those prayers for sure.
Yeah.
But boy, these healings even that you spoke about, that's where guys got together, where many got together.
Yes.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And we believe, and we go that route. We don't just voice it, just say it. But here's the deal. You know, God knows our hearts. That's what he judges, right? He knows our hearts. He doesn't care about our intentions or, mm-hmm. you know, what it looks like we're attempting to do and so on and so forth. He judges our hearts. That's what takes place. Everyone else judges what they see. And, you know, internally, we could have a totally, you know, opposite reason and purpose for doing what we're doing that most people wouldn't see. But God sees it. He knows it.
Yes.
So when we can submit ourselves to Him, and then we come to Him in not only in petition of, you know, saying, please take care of this, Lord. Sometimes He just wants us just to be quiet and listen to Him.
Yeah.
And that prayer time sometimes is so important, of just taking the time and listening for that still small voice. You know, He doesn't necessarily come in the earthquake. He's not necessarily in the fire, you know, but in that still small voice, that's where you'll find.
Amen. And, you know, through this radio show, Band of Brothers, these other things, that's really the basis of the relationship building piece that I was inspired to have as the topic today.
Mm-hmm.
And as with all things, we go to Scripture for that foundation, that basis.
Right.
So as I get guys like, well, I got a relationship with the big guy upstairs. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need this. Well, do you believe the Bible? Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Do you try and follow the instructions? Oh, yes, yes, I do. Well, what does it say about the loners versus the other guys? And, you know, it goes right to the very foundation of Genesis 2:18. Mm. Well, I think it's the only place in Scripture where God ever said something wasn't good,
mm-hmm.
and that was that, you know, Adam was alone.
Right.
So He creates Adam, and He realizes this is not good. Well, a lot of people think maybe Adam was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
He names all the animals. He's got the songs of the birds of the air, but God knew that He needed that relationship with mm-hmm. another, because only then can we share love.
Mm-hmm.
A little cowboy logic here. It's kind of like having a campfire. If you got two logs crossing each other, it'll burn.
Yeah.
But if you have one log roll off, what happens?
Yeah.
The fire goes out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you even brought that up one mm-hmm. day, something like mm-hmm. that, and that stuck with me. So here we've got God's, by design, mm-hmm. saying, we need to be in relationship
right.
with somebody else.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it goes forward from there. There are so many examples throughout Scripture of that being the case. Hebrews being just one, mm-hmm. one of them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, from a business standpoint,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of my mantra is that if you steal an idea, they call you a thief. If you steal a lot of ideas, they say you're in research.
Okay.
So that is best ideas. So I sometimes kind of have that mindset.
Yes.
And, you know, it's so true. In Proverbs 24:6, it says, "For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there's
yes.
victory."
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
That doesn't say go it alone, brother. You're gonna be okay.
Right.
It says in abundance there's victory. Wow.
But so often as men, we have a tendency of wanting to go alone because we're afraid. I use the word afraid.
Yeah.
There is fear.
It's true.
Most men are not going to admit that. There's no fear. I have no fear. I'm fearless, you know. And that's, yeah, when you're all alone, yeah, you can be fearless. And you can be fearful, but nobody's going to notice it, right? So, except you. But you're not going to admit that anyway. So, but the point is that the fear of not being good enough, of being wrong, of not meeting the expectations for whatever that might be, all of those things, okay, are what keep us from being amongst others and keep us from sharing with others. I don't want somebody to think that what I have to say is stupid or dumb or it's like everyone else knew that but me, you know. We don't want to, our pride gets in the way, okay? And so often as a result of that, that ends up keeping us from the sunlight of the Spirit working through us and to help others and to receive from others.
I completely agree, but you don't have to hit me alongside the head with a 2x4 to share that there was a time, not all that long ago,
yes,
that was my posture.
Yeah.
And it was only through other men mm-hmm. that said, here's another picture for you to look at. I know you haven't experienced that, but,
right. Right.
And I got, it's like the recovered addict or whatever. Mm-hmm. Once they're recovered, they just want to tell everybody how to get recovered, right?
Yep.
It's like going to a good movie. Oh,
yep.
Man, you got to go see this movie.
Right.
So you and I are great testimonies, mm-hmm. and maybe some of the listeners, to that key thing, getting with others, because only then was I able to overcome this. I was worried that the guys think, oh, well, he's weak because he thinks this or what. You know, and when you really, when Christ abides in you and you abide in him and you're with men that are seeking that,
mm-hmm.
There's no fear. There's no condemnation.
Yes.
Because they've all been where you've been.
Yep.
And they don't want to make you feel less than.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, Raul, and the listeners too, this subject has become very passionate as I've studied out for a teaching. And I had to reflect back and go, you know what? I think this is probably the most influential thing in my walk that I ever did, was to become involved in relationships with others that were seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all on the
mm-hmm.
same page.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I think it's kind of like how Jesus describes the body of Christ and the members of the body.
Right.
That, you know, how can the, I think the eye says to the, hand, we don't need you,
mm-hmm.
you know, but yet
mm-hmm.
it does.
Mm-hmm.
So even Jesus puts that in context for us, says we are of the whole body, and you're missing a member of the body, you're not going to function as well.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So you can even look at it a little selfishly, like, hey, I want to grow in abundance and I want to be a better person. Okay, brother, go fellowship, get involved mm-hmm. in something, get involved mm-hmm. in a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be anything.
Yep.
They're endless.
Well, and the key is that we end up so often having our own idea of how we want to fellowship. But see, God has a different idea. He has actually the best plan. We want to be this or that part in relationship with other people. But God may want us to take a back seat on some situations. He may want you out of the back row and put you in the front row in some situations. And forget the front row. He wants you up on the stage and talking with people. I'm using just analogy just to let you know there are various ways of looking at this, you know, depending on where we are individually. But God has a plan. And when we seek him and submit to him and we allow him to listen, or for us to listen to what he's saying to us and then put it into works, amazing what takes
place. That's the key right there, putting it into works. We've all had that. I say we all. Most of us can probably relate to having something come up where you made a decision,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And something inside you said, you know what, I thought of doing it this way, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I went with this.
Right.
And there's so many times that we can put, I guess, substance and credibility to that comment of, well, my gut told me to.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's still mm-hmm. small voice.
Yes.
That's directing us.
Yeah.
And the key of what you just said is doing something with it. It's like the first time I went up to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it was going to take a Mack truck and a tow chain, okay,
because
I was concerned of
yes.
my peers.
Yes.
And there was this fear. But inside of me, it was going, go up there, go up there, go
yes.
up. You need prayer. You
yeah.
need prayer. You know, be humble in that. Don't be
yes.
prideful.
Yes.
Go up, go up. And then when you do, it's like the floodgates open.
Yes. Yes.
How do you inspire people beyond what Scripture says and knowing that that little voice is telling you to do it? Just go do it.
Yeah.
Everybody that does sings the praises of it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay?
We just think we're the exception to the rule. And
I've got a special relationship with the big guy. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about these things that keep us from receiving the sunlight of the Spirit and the joy, as you described. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Christmas is just around the corner, and it brings with it so many tantalizing aromas. The smell of the Christmas tree in the living room. Ah, the intoxicating aroma of the Christmas cookies fresh out of the oven. And of course, the mouth-watering aroma of that Hempler's ham for your Christmas dinner. Be sure to order yours right away. The entire Hempler's collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and have no MSG added. And they're made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. It's an 80-year tradition that started out in their kitchen in Germany. Order your Hempler's ham right now at Hempler's.com.
The shame that grips you now is crippling. It breaks my heart to see you suffering. 'Cause I am for you. I'm not against you. If you want to know how far my love can go, just how deep, just how wide. If you want to see how much you mean to me, look at my hands, look at my side. If you could count the times that say you are forgiven, it's more than the drops in the ocean.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul in the studio. And you know what? We're talking about this thing about relationship and the basic, the foundational of this thing. You had mentioned earlier, you used a couple of stories where you go and tell these people about that sort of thing. Throughout the Bible, especially during Jesus' ministry on this earth, okay? There were the men that he healed. That he says, go and tell them what has happened, right? And even those that he says, don't go tell them what happened, you wait, right?
Yes.
And they still went to go tell, right? The woman at the well, the Samaritan well, okay? The Samaritan woman and in Samaria. Anyway, she went to tell everybody about what Jesus, that she had just met and what is going on. I believe he's the Messiah. And, you know, she went in and told the multitudes. Etc., etc., etc. It's all about this relationship of telling others. There's more power in it, and especially in receiving it, okay? Right? There's something about the simple fact that in Revelation, it talks about that because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony,
yes.
Their testimony.
There you go.
That's how the enemy is defeated. You know, so it's, Jesus has already given it up. We've got his blood upon us. We receive him and adhere to him. We end up getting opportunities to be able to share what has happened in our lives with others. And the more that we tell, it's like lighting little fires everywhere, okay? And hoping that they would be able to take that and be inspired and encouraged by that. And everyone has something to give away. It's not about waiting for waiting to see what the preacher has or what next great speaker is going to come and speak to us and tell us about. No, we all have something for someone else to hear. God created us for a purpose, and it's not to be alone.
No, it's not. And I'll tell you, on that note, I found that there was two postures when I started fellowshipping with other men. That is, one is I thought I was just kind of being obedient to God's word, and it was part of my get-out-of-hell-free card, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Then what was revealed to me is one of the wisdoms of Scripture that a lot of us overlook is, although there's admonishments, most of the Scriptures that I found as I looked at this piece were ones that pointed out the benefits. For example, Philippians 2:2 and 2:4 is how Scripture tells us that there's joy in this. It says in 2:2, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And 4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Mm-hmm. And that's that neat thing that happens, Raul, where you might be carrying around a little bit of burden, but you help somebody else.
Yep.
And when you help somebody else, whatever you're dealing with seems to fade. You know that?
Well, yeah, because you're not thinking about yourself.
No, that's God's design. He says,
exactly.
Go help others, and you're helping your. It almost seems a little selfish.
Well, it's all on whose part, you mean?
Mine, because I'll go help somebody, and I know that while I'm while I'm lifting that brother up, help whatever it is, that I'm a reflection of Jesus Christ, and I walk away being blessed.
But it's not being selfish. You're being obedient. Seriously, I just want to correct.
You are
being obedient because Jesus says, hey, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the number one commandment. And then to everyone else, the surprise of all those Pharisees and the priests that were looking at him, he says, and the second is like it, to love others as you love yourself.
Yes.
Okay? And you care for yourself, right? So when you're hungry, you feed yourself. When you're in need of shelter, you put yourself in shelter. Whatever it is that you need, okay, you care for yourself. That's what you're supposed to be doing for others. You care for others. So that love for others is caring for them. And as a result of that, you're not being selfish, you're being obedient. So in being obedient to God's law, what are we doing? We're loving him.
Yes.
We're loving him.
Well, and Jesus says, complete my joy by.
Yes, yes.
What he should have said, I guess, not should have said, but is, you go complete your joy by doing this. And believe me and have faith that that'll happen. And it does.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know that we're stronger. Stronger individuals. I know that from the relationships that I've built through the ministries and Band of Brothers and so forth, that when the storm comes my way, for one, I know I'm not the only guy to ever experience it.
Yep.
But here I've got this pool, this resource of men that I know that I can pick up the phone and say, you know what, brother, I don't know if you've been here or not, but man, I'm just struggling. My wife and I are not, you know, and it's been going on long enough that I just feel like I'm, you know, whatever that is, you can count on having that support group. And that's military too, right? Mm-hmm. They're in a war. They go through the battle. What kind of a bond gets created there?
It's a bond that lasts in this case here, eternity.
There you
in
go.
In a sense, okay? And it's an eternal bond because you sit there and you realize another brother, you allow yourself to become vulnerable to someone else and asking for help. And they help because they care about you.
Yes, there you go.
Okay? And as a result of that, there's a bond that is in cement, that is there. And not very many things can actually break that, okay? It's the same as our relationship with Jesus Christ. That bond that has taken place there, that he suffered and died for you and I, and when we accept that and acknowledge that, there's a bond that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we start to pay attention to the things that he is saying to us through his word and through other people that he puts in our lives, okay? And it leads right back to him in all cases. So we sit there and go, okay, I believe when you tell me, Lord, that you're not going to leave me nor forsake me, even in this time of darkness in my life or challenges that's taking place, I know you are there in the midst of things. And we start to thank him. And then now all of a sudden, then our relationship grows with him. And as long as we keep giving away what he gives us, because you know what? He'll just keep giving it and giving it and giving it and giving it.
And his word is so full of all of that. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes is another one. It's chapter 4, 9 through 12, where he says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their toil.
There you go.
For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up.
There you go.
And then he goes on to say, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly
broken.
Now, that's something you and I can relate to. Don't give me a string. Give me a rope.
Yep,
you know, that rope is many strings, you know, gathered together for that strength. There's such wisdom in that. But you and I, even though Scripture says that, we go to when I first read that, I went, oh, yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Imagine that. It's in Scripture already.
Well, that's where the basis of, just in relationship of realizing that we need others. Just like as you use the analogy with the wood, in a sense, you know, that's one that we have all experienced at a certain time or another. We've all been around a campfire and we've seen the wood. You put more wood in there and as you get a nice hot fire going, not just the start of it, but when it's one that's going and you put another piece in there and it's roaring, right? Now, if you want to, if someone says, hey, we're going to bed, or you start to, you know, people are leaving the campfire, you got a fire going, you go, wow, you know, I guess I should put it out. But what do you do? you start separating the pieces of wood.
Yeah.
And they start going out.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, I got to also, what prompted me here came to mind is that picture of the campfire. I've also got to share with the listening audience the blessing, advantage, mm-hmm. encouragement of getting around a campfire.
Yep.
You know, when men gather, mm-hmm. men and women, but especially mm-hmm. when men gather around a campfire and they start talking, that is awesome because yep. it seems to allow the opportunity for guys to be vulnerable,
yep.
to get real.
Yep.
And we all kind of enjoy putting our feet up around a fire and feeling very comfortable with mm-hmm. having that kind of a discussion. We should do that more often, brother.
Well, the only thing is we got a burn ban going in our county right now that just started yesterday. You have to be 25 feet away from any structure, fired up water hose, yep. and two buckets around. So, yeah, we'll do that as soon as we get that all lit up. Hey, I tell you what, let's take a break. Let's talk about this fire that we could possibly get things going. What does it look like in other parts of our lives to get a fire going in relationship? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. And, you know, one of the things, Duke, is, you know, when you bring this up about, foundational basis for relationship.
The biblical basis.
Yep. Okay. So often one thing that is in common with everyone that we read about in Scripture, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, had a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. That's where it begins.
Yeah. Okay. And how many do we know in our lives that don't have a relationship? Not only, with us necessarily, but I mean with God, that don't desire one because maybe no one has said anything to them about
it. Well, they're already in a relationship with.
Right. But to be able to fire, I mean, I can say I have a can of corn too. I don't know what it tastes like because it's still in the cupboard and I haven't had it for years, but it's in the can. Until I open that can, I'm not going to be able to savor it, to be able to taste it and say, oh, wow, this is really good stuff, right?
Right.
So we may say we have a relationship, but I guess my point is that what gets somebody into more of a relationship with God?
Well, I'm going to say in my case, it was testimony of others. It's that I just went and saw a good movie. You got to go see this movie thing. That's really, and that's our encouragement to the listeners today. This, although there's a biblical basis that says that there's joy, there's benefit, you're stronger, and all those other, I mean, Scripture gives you every reason to almost, selfishly decide this is the best thing for me.
Yes.
But really what gives its teeth mm-hmm. is the testimonies of guys like you and I that say, you know what, here's what's been going on and here's how that happens. And every time that I see a blessing in my life, every time I'm able to get through one of those struggles, I can know that it's because I'm surrounded by a family of believers that we're in this battle together kind
yes.
of thing.
Yeah. You know, it's over and over again throughout the New Testament. The book of James talks about it so often about the faith without works is dead, and being able to, we can see something, but then we go, oh, that's too bad that's like that. Yet the reason we see it might be the purpose that God put us in front of that individual or that situation so that we would be the catalyst to either assist or to gain additional assistance to help out. Okay?
Amen.
And so often we say, I don't have enough time. I can't, you know, I'm not able to. We have all kinds of excuses. Never a good reason, but tons of excuses, right? And there is a difference, right? But the deal is that if I try to look at everything in my life that nothing happens by mistake. I think I shared this with you yesterday, or it shared about today. It happened to me yesterday, right? I made a phone call to a brother that was in the hospital, but he was transferred. He was moved from one hospital to another hospital. And I attempted to talk to him earlier in the week at this South Campus, okay? And in doing so, when I called yesterday, I said, can I have room, you know, gave her the room number and the last name of the person I'm trying to get a hold of, okay? And she says, one moment, and she goes ahead and just connects me. Now, in hindsight, she may have just heard the room number and not the name, okay? So she calls the room, and I acknowledge the guy who answered the phone. Hey, brother, how you doing? You know, I acknowledge him by name, and I just to keep it, you know, there's no reason for me to have to mention his name. But anyway, so I go on and say, hey, how do you feel? And he sounded a little, he said, I feel good. And I said, okay. You know, I'm thinking to myself, well, he doesn't sound quite as exuberant as he would if
the
he
same
was
the same guy. Yeah.
You know, I'm going, God, he sounds kind of not as good as he did last time I talked to him when he was at the other hospital. But anyway, and I thought, well, he might be tired. I said, did I wake up? He said, oh, no. Yeah, you know. So we went on to talk, and of course, I acknowledged myself when I called. I said, you know, this is Raul with, you know, Band of Brothers. And so, yeah. And he went on, you know, and then we just went on the conversation. We had about a 5 to 7 minute conversation. And I asked her about his wife, and you know, she'd been coming over. Oh yeah, she's taking care of me, you know, doing all this. I said, you got a room by yourself? Oh yeah, I got a room by myself. I said, that's pretty cool. You don't have, you know, to worry about making too much noise from other people and stuff. And we had a conversation. I said, how you feeling? Can I keep you in prayer for anything? He says, you know, I'm doing pretty good actually. You know, he says that stroke that I had, you know, just kind of just bothered me. And I thought to myself, stroke. You know, because he was in there for my buddy was in there for he had a heart challenge and he had triple bypass. And anyway, so he was recovering. But there were challenges with his breathing and stuff. That's why he went to this other campus. Anyway, this guy says, who is this? I said, it's Raul with Band of Brothers. I'm thinking, oh, man, he's lost his memory. You know, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, he's always you know, a little dementia setting in, you know. And he says, I don't know if I know you. And I said, this is, anyway, so I mentioned his name, and he says, no, it's not. I said, oh, I said, well, you know, he was in this room. I bet he was let go, and they just gave you this room, and here I'm talking to you. And I said, who am I speaking with? And he gave me his name. And I said, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ? And he said, well, yeah. I was raised a Baptist, but I haven't been to church in years and years and years. I said, well, would you mind if I pray for you? Okay. Because I already knew all the challenges he was having, you know, in the hospital because I was talking to my buddy who I thought I was talking to, and it wasn't. Anyway, kind of funny how God does things,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So it would have been just as easy for me to say, oh, sorry to bother you, Ben. Blessings on you, and then hang up. But I had an opportunity that God had given me to be able to, if nothing else, to encourage this man, let him know that someone is praying to God, the God creator of all things, at this moment in time for him.
Amen.
And he thanked me, and I said, you know what? I might just surprise you and show up there sometime. And he said, that'd be good to meet you. And anyway, so whether I want another, you know, God knows what he's doing.
He does.
You know?
And you know what? Where I see that going, I mean, if you take the prompting and you can find the time to go see the guy, that will become a discussion thing for this guy.
Yeah.
You can bet that at whatever family gathering barbecue around the buddies, you're going to say, hey, guess what happened?
Yeah.
This guy called me. So how's your life with Jesus? You know, again, he turns these things to our, now, and I'll tell you too, that that now that we've got out there and a lot of people can agree with the biblical basis for relationship and that we're joyful, we're stronger, and all the benefits of it, a lot of guys might say, well, I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And what we've got to be careful of, Raul, is at least I do anyway, with Band of Brothers in that ministry, I tend to gravitate only towards that as the place to go. But, you know, my encouragement to our guys last night was that this idea of being in relationship doesn't mean just Band of Brothers. Now, as men, we get great. But we started kind of going through the list of how are the other ways you can be in relationship. And it's through whatever. Maybe you go to church, don't go to church, but through different ministries. So you mentioned hospital. That's something that came up last night.
Mm-hmm.
I shared a story of that guy that you and I went to go see
in
the hospital.
Yep.
Okay, on that same day, and one of the guys piped up with the observation that what a mission field. You want to be in relationship, take a buddy or two that's maybe been in the hospital, experienced that, or has had a loved one there.
Because
I'll tell you what, if there is anything that opened your eyes, and it did mine once again, just walk through the hospital.
Oh yeah,
just walk down the hallways. You know how many people are laying in there after some type of a surgery that do not know Jesus?
You know, it's funny you mention that. After I had my triple bypass, 1 year later, or less than a year later, I had actually went back to the fourth floor because that's where they had the cardiac people, and I'd go through, and I would just walk by and look in if there was somebody that was sitting there by themselves. And they had the pillow that they usually keep, the heart pillow, that you know, for when you're coughing and sneezing and that sort of thing. I would walk in and just introduce myself that I was, and I'd show them my scar, you know, at least part of it, said so that they knew that I was not just some joker coming in here to, you know, that hey, I went through this. I just want to encourage you when they tell you to do this, this, and this, even though you don't want to do it, to do it. It's going to be well worth it. You may feel like you're not going to be able to ever get out of this bed, but you can't. You have opportunity to encourage others. And that's really what it comes down to, because when somebody hears encouragement, guess what we end up doing? We end up trusting that person who's speaking to us a little more. And in trust, that is so vital in every relationship, just as it is that we're told to trust in God, right? Mm-hmm. We trust in our brothers. We trust in our sisters that we end up, and they and trust us to be able to be though that person that we are resembling or showing them who we are at the time. You know, it's so important. The book of James, I just have to read this part here. It mentions in here about, make sure I haven't lost it here. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Mm-hmm. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Okay, so it says for us to reveal our sins with each other. When we do that, that's letting someone know that, hey, you know, this is where I've been, and I've asked the Lord for forgiveness, and maybe he has forgiven me, and this is, you know, by you just even sharing your weakness or your sin or the challenge you've had, people who hear it, they're going to come up, and they're going to say, hey, I thought I was the only one that felt that way.
Yes.
I thought I was the only one that ever did that. I thought. And see, it breaks down that barrier where they realize that, man, I was just all to myself. I thought I was the only one that ever experienced that. And now I come to find out that there's at least one other person here that doesn't or has, just like I have.
Well, and you know, I got to tell you too, Raul, there was a time that I was in relationship and a home Bible study. Actually, for almost 3 years, I never got, I'm going to say, close to the those two guys that led the Bible study. Knew them well enough. Each week I went and saw them.
Sure.
And a little bit off, but never had that bond or that connection. We never prayed for one another's needs. Right. We studied Scripture.
Sure, sure.
You know, and I think that was a big piece missing in that. And I remember the Bible study, but I don't remember what we studied really.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we never got intimate about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's where it's got to start.
You know, and it starts with us, because when we've been given that knowledge to do that sort of thing, just like the guys who are listening, now you know when something happens in front of you, it doesn't necessarily happen by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
God has maybe given you an opportunity, and we have to take hold of that. Just like we take captive every thought that comes into our head,
yep.
We take captive every opportunity that God has put in front of us, okay? Oh, I came to the wrong address. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
Now you get opportunity of being able to say, hey, can I walk in faith? Can I trust God enough to know that this is from Him? You know, it's not the enemy that's putting people in front of you that are looking at you like, are you here to help me? You know, it's God that's doing that, you know. And when we follow through and be courageous and willing to allow God to work through us, and knowing that it's Him that does it, He's the one that does the increase, right?
Amen.
All we Amen. Do, we're just the conduit, right? We're just the tool being used by Him. So we just need to make ourselves a stronger piece of tool that will not break under any circumstance, knowing that it's God that's doing that, and that He'll use us. Be able to take care and loosen all those nuts up out there.
Amen. Amen. Those nuts. The crazies.
There you go. Yeah. Well, brother, good topic, and blessings on the remainder of your day. How about praying for our brother who's brothers are listening?
Your Heavenly Father, I just pray that this message today would penetrate those that have been maybe denying this. And that You would put before them an opportunity to be in relationship, to be able to be trusted and trust, share those testimonies, and grow joyfully in Your Word. In Your precious name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you shalom.